Hello everybody, welcome back to the show. Whale sharks are the kings of the ocean and the internet. They are absolutely enormous. What's even more incredible than their aspect is these huge gatherings in warm waters called constellations. In this three-part episode, expect to learn more about the whale shark biology, how does it survive, the reason behind these huge gatherings, and much more. The whale shark is a very special elasmobranch, which is a group of animals formed with sharks and rays, with its giant size that sticks with its slow lifestyle of pelagic filter feeder. However, what makes it different from other sharks is first his mouth. Normally, on numerous shark species, you can observe that the mouth takes place under the head and eyes, not the whale shark. His eyes are actually apart from his gigantic mouth, giving it a strange aspect at first sight. The underside of its rostrum acts as a surface that creates lift at the front of the body. Second hydrodynamism characteristic is the additional lift from the pectoral fin that drives then the nose down. These two combined allow the whale shark to maintain a straight line when swimming. It is vital for it to keep these two in a dynamic balance, just like us when we walk. We unconsciously keep one leg and one foot moving at a time, and the whale shark does the same, but up and down with different body parts. One of their eating strategies is standing up towards the surface at approximately 25 degrees to inhale large amounts of surface water filled with nutrients. They are often reproducing this behavior in these enormous gatherings that I will describe and explain later on. The fact that they have 300 rows of teeth is probably an evolution leftover, since none of them have been observed attacking any big-sized animal intentionally. This physical characteristic is facing the same process as human wisdom teeth being less and less developed over generations and even lost in a growing portion of people around the world. This fact for us was shaped by our food becoming less and less hard and easier to masticate. Whale shark must have been experiencing the same exact condition, except in the ocean, switching over time to usual shark preys to small macroscopic and microscopic animals. This is a theory because no human being, of course, witnessed the whale shark evolution in its integrity, but science proved to back up that theory. There is a side effect, of course, of having a mouth large of 1.5 meters, and it is the separation of nostrils across its head. The whale shark has, just like its cousin, the hammerhead shark, what you could call a stereo olfaction. They can surely smell in the water excellently and tell with precision if the smell comes from the left or the right and how much up or down. Such a head width creates for the animal a blind spot right in front of his face. It must be a problematic drawback to deal with. This skin is a tough, pigmented and thin outer layer and an amazing, large, rubbery white dermis of dense, collagenous tissue. For a number of reasons, this skin is exceptional from an evolutionary point of view. It provides a structural support, enhanced by the projecting ridges on its back, as well as an insulation protection, and also complete protection against predators and scientists trying to tag an individual surfacing. The largest reliable record of whale shark size is 18.8 meters long, so 62 feet. Less reliable one indicates 20 meters long. The whale shark is probably the largest fish to ever exist, as fossil records never reached lengths of 18 meters, longer than the only contestant, Megalodon, which is around 14.2 to 15.3 meters. The major distinguishedness of it is the body size that the basking shark don't even approach, and the only other filter feeding shark, the megamouth shark, is larger than 6 meters, and yet still around half the size of the basking shark, which is not even significantly close to 18.8 meters. So the elasmobranch all-time winner is undoubtedly the whale shark. It is one of the three members to have experienced shark gigantism, and the argues in favor of the phylogeny don't seem to be very convincing, however, towards this phenomenon. They are a one-of-a-kind creature, and this is reflected in their genes, and so phenotype. The female whale sharks are viviparous and they follow the same order in reproductive development, which is, first, ovulation, then fertilization, as a result of two whale sharks mating together. Second step is the embryonic development, and after being fully grown, the birth of free swimming pups occurs. Remember, Whale sharks are relatively small when they see the world for the very first time. Actually, it might surprise you, but they are as long as 59 centimeters on average, the size of a small dog, and yet 30 years later it reaches 30 meters. How enigmatic can life be sometimes? Growth models of whale sharks are modeled by a mathematical function by Bertalanffy, with a size of birth set at 60 centimeters. It indicates that after 10 years they are 2.6 meters long, after 20 years they are 5 meters long, and at 48 they are around 10 to 11 meters long. This growth model was based off two scenarios of maximum length, at 18 and 15 meters, after time expected infinite after 100 years. We know that around the world there is 30 whale shark hotspots driven by a higher prey concentration in these areas. That's logic. Every organism is attracted to a place that provides more food and comfort. Insects do the same with richer environments, humans do the same with big cities. That's nature. An animal will not willingly go to a place poor in opportunities, food and comfort. It doesn't make any sense, except if it is concerning breeding grounds or steps of a migration. Some of these feeding hotspots are characterized by events or fish spawning in high density. Others are fueled by multiple environmental factors, creating a vast zone where zooplankton is promoted and they multiply so much that sometimes we can see them from space. These are attractive for whale sharks. They will sense it and eat as much as they are able to in this nearly limitless food zone. Migration patterns have played a key role in determining where our whale shark constellations are occurring. First off, tracking an animal in the ocean is one of the most difficult tasks to do, since you may only have one chance to interact physically with a specimen. So in this right moment, everything needs to be perfect. The same way as a national swim champion prepares for the 200 meter challenge ahead for the medal, everything will need to be organized, stainless, and perfectly executed for success. Instead of hours and hours of practice, these hours are put into the device that we will put on the animal, the crew and equipment necessary and the planning of it all. Not to mention the timing to get right when encountering the species you are looking for. Despite these challenges, it is amazing to be able to track on the map the journey, speed and location and depth of animal in the sea. It allows us to better understand them and document their movements. The tracking of whale sharks shows data depending on their location. These data also shows constellation sites, so let's get on the main focus of the episode in this next part. Wherever they are, these are percentages of the location they prefer. Most of their time is spent above 200 meters, and they are largely found in the Gulf of California, with 80% of their time spent at the surface. Ningaloo Reef in Western Australia is also popular, with their surfacing reaching 50% overall. The Yucatan Peninsula also shows that 70% of the time is dedicated to surfacing above 3 meters. These three places are often welcoming constellations of hundreds of individuals because of the flood floating around the surface. In recent years, scientists have been conducting extensive research to understand the reason behind these incredible gatherings of whale sharks, known as constellations. Some theories suggest that these constellations occur due to an abundance of food in certain areas, attracting large numbers of whale sharks. Other factors, such as favorable oceanic conditions and mating opportunities, may also contribute to the formation of these gatherings. If ever you encountered or already encountered a whale shark constellation, you'll notice them all around you, filtering the surface at 30 degrees. The surrounding over you is completely saturated with 9 meters long fish searching for food. I would not like to be a 1 millimeter long zooplankton shrimp in such an environment. Whale sharks have experienced a significant global decline of over 50%, leading to the classification as global endangered in 2016. They reach reproductive maturity slowly and face high natural mortality as young sharks. If they survive the early years and grow to a few meters in length, their chances of survival increases a lot more. Whale sharks have existed for 23 million years, outlasting some of their natural predators. Whale shark tourism has grown since the discovery of predictable whale shark sightings off, for example, Ningaloo Reef that we talked about, in the 1990s. tourism can connect the public to whale sharks, promoting understanding and empathy while protecting the species. It also provides income to local communities. Global whale shark tourism has allowed citizens, scientists, to contribute to monitoring by collecting and using whale shark images for research. However, tourism can have negative impacts on whale sharks, such as boat collisions and behavioral disturbances. Measures have been developed to minimize these impacts, however, including legislated or voluntary codes of conduct for operators to maintain minimum distances between boats, swimmers, and sharks. The population viability analysis over time would inform the current state of conservation efforts. Again, a lot of actions still have to be made to protect this species from this pressure applied towards whale sharks. But we must not forget all the daily efforts made most of the time in silence by scientists, conservationists, and you as well by making sustainable choices in your actions. If you want to stay informed about this program or want to suggest topics, go on Instagram and search @marinebioexplained_. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you next time.